11th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Chapter 11, verses 27 through 33. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I'll also ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. And they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And this truly is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Jesus had quite an impact on the lives of the religious leaders. He'd gone in and cleansed the temple, overturned the table of the money changers, the seats of those who sold pigeons and doves. Wouldn't allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Taken away a lot of their money, their source of income. And it was a natural question from those who lived in a world of authorities to ask him, "By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority?" They had no authority of their own. Jesus taught and acted as one having authority. But the scribes and the Pharisees based their actions on precedents, what had been taught before, either in their scriptures or by some famous leader, some famous teacher. Life, to some degree, was like an enlarged law court. The past and its precedents overshadowed the present. And so they asked Jesus, "By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority?" They were upset, they were angered, they were enraged by what Jesus had done. And so they asked, "Where did you get this authority? Who gave you this authority?" This was a rhetorical question as far as they were concerned. They had no belief that Jesus had any authority for his act. They thought they'd backed him into a corner from which he could not escape. After all, they were the recognized authority in matters relating to the temple. And they certainly had not given Jesus any authority to do what he had done. What could Jesus answer? Well, he could have said that he was acting on his own authority. But if he'd done this, the leaders would surely have accused him of being insane, a madman, one who needed to be arrested and put away before he did any further harm. He could have said his authority came from God. And if he'd done this, they would have arrested him on the charge of blasphemy. For surely God would never give anyone authority to create the kind of disturbance that Jesus had done in the temple when he turned over the table of the money changers and drove those out that bought and sold. Somewhere else, perhaps, he might have done this, but not in the courts, not the God's own house. How could he answer? Well, in good rabbinical style, Jesus answered with a counter question. He said, "If you'll answer me, I'll answer you. Was the baptism of John," he said, "from heaven or from men? Answer me." And the Jewish leaders thought they'd placed Jesus in a dilemma where he could not answer them. But in a completely turns the tables. He places them on the horns of an insoluble dilemma. There was no proper way they could answer him. They knew this. They said, "If we say John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus is going to ask us, why didn't you obey him? Why didn't you Follow him. Why did you oppose his work? Even worse than that, if they said John's work was divine or from God, Jesus could reply, well, he pointed everybody to me. He said, I was the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Therefore, he has divinely attested to my authority, and I have no need for additional authority. If they agreed that John's work was from God, then they would be compelled to accept Jesus as God's Messiah, God's anointed one. On the other hand, if they said John's authority was purely human, especially now that John had become a martyr, then the crowd of people listening and who believed John to be a prophet could and quite possibly would cause a riot. So it was that those who questioned Jesus could not answer the question that they were asked to answer. And they were compelled to answer meekly and weakly that they did not know. They didn't know where John's authority came from. And so Jesus escaped the need to answer their question. However, their question is a major central question in religion and in life. By what authority did Jesus act? Who gave him that authority? The evidence, the answer Jesus gave by inference from his question about John the Baptist was that his authority came from God. Do we know this? Are we sure? What evidence do we have? Halfwit Luckock in the Interpreter's Bible lists four different pieces of evidence that we can examine in our own minds. First, he said, part of the evidence lies in the response which centuries of human life have made to him and to his teachings. How have people responded to him across the centuries? He said if he was lifted up, he would draw all people unto him. And he has drawn people of all races, of all nations, during good times and bad, during peace and wartime, during prosperity and famine, people from all kinds of places, in the big city and in the jungle village, have been drawn to him. For uncounted hosts, Jesus has been the answer to their quest for God. In him, they have found life and peace and joy. Jesus has, by his life, death, and resurrection, been the way for multitudes on the pathway to God. In him, people have found the light of the glory of God. Secondly, part of the evidence lies in the demonstration which experience has given to the truth of his teaching. Experience has proven the truth of his teaching. People have found that life works out as Jesus said it did. In diverse manners, in different degrees, varying with millions of different circumstances, people have found him in their experience to truly be the way and the truth and the life. I doubt if any of you remember it, but some years ago now on Sunday evening, I preached a series of sermons on biblical principles that have worked for me. Since I know you've forgotten them all already, I'll probably do it again someday, Lord, give him strength. But, you know, as I have tried to live my life by the teachings of Jesus and the example of Jesus and biblical principles, I have found that when I align myself with the will of God, when I seek first the kingdom of God, when I strive to live as Jesus taught, when I try to love as he loved, then life works. Well, there's still hard times, there's still difficulties, there's still questions and there's still answers that we don't have. But when I strive to live for Him, life works. Life works. Biblical principles put into practice work. 30 said, the events of history have entered their own evidence that Jesus' authority came from God. The whole sweep of human history since 30 AD has been a commentary on the Gospels. Jesus and the teaching and His teaching and life turned things upside down. He said the first shall be last and the last first. If you would be great, you must be a servant. This seems so strange and yet has proven true. Yesterday's headlines or today's footnotes, and yesterday's footnotes or today's headlines. During His lifetime and for a long time afterward, Jesus was only a footnote in the smallest type in the annals of the Roman Empire. But history has highly exalted Him. And the Roman Empire is largely forgotten. His interpretation of life had been proven truth. Multitudes of other ways have been tried, only to fail. When Jesus' way is accepted and lived out, people experience life, and life at its best. The first shall be last, the last first. If you be great, you must be a servant. Still further evidence of Jesus' continuing authority is seen in the inexhaustible quality of His insights. Humanity outgrows other philosophers and ideas. It never leaves Jesus behind. In every generation, the latest moral and spiritual gains have come from the recovery of insights of Jesus. Greater, higher, nobler than any before since stands Jesus. He has not and will not be surpassed. By what authority do you do these things? By the authority of God. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And the day will come when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord of all. Jesus. If we are wise, we will seek His will, obey His command, and follow wherever He leads. No one else has the words of life. You remember that occasion when Jesus had talked about being the bread of life and multitudes had left Him. Just the 12 were still there around Him, and He looked at them and said, "Would you also go away?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life." And He does. He has the words of life. No one else. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You came and lived among us. And by Your teaching and by Your living, You showed us the way, the truth, the life. Help us daily to take up our cross and follow You wherever You lead us. Though sometimes, as the port says, the way seems rough and steep, we see Your footprints all the way. Help us to follow faithfully. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.